The British plastic surgeon Dr. Victoria Rose is completing her third tour of duty in Gaza. And yesterday she vividly described the carnage around her as dozens of bodies and hundreds of injured were taken to Nasser Hospital, where she and a team of medics work with limited supplies and equipment. I spoke to her earlier. She told me more about yesterday and what she witnessed.
It was quite an early start for us because we woke up to the news that there had been an incident at the GHF aid distribution centre in Rafah. And that centre isn't so close to where we are. There are two other facilities nearer. There's the MSF Belgium and ICRC's field hospitals are quite a lot closer than we are. But by about 12 o'clock, we had already received 28 people dead, and we declared 5 dead in the emergency department and then 200 plus with gunshot wounds. And just to put it in perspective, we are in an active fighting zone. So to get to us from Rafah, you are taking a risk because you're coming very close to territory that the IDF occupies. And yet we still managed to receive that many victims. Lots of them were brought in by the local ambulance service, but we had quite a few being sort of delivered to us on donkey carts, and particularly some of the dead came in that way. It then sort of went into mass casualty protocol here, and the 5 theatres in the main building were stopped and just started to take the injured. And then the 2 theatres where I work at the moment stopped, and we then took some of the injured. They also closed one of the maternity theatres so that they could start doing some trauma work. And we managed to send some patients to Palestinian Red Cross Society Hospital, which is not that far away from us. But we know that there were more people involved in this incident than we've actually treated.
What can you tell us about the injuries you witnessed and how those injuries were inflicted?
They're all gunshot wounds. Every single one of them is a gunshot wound, really. There were a few sort of minor injuries from people being crushed and fallen, but the majority of the patients that ended up on the operating table were to remove bullets and debride wounds. A lot of them were hit in the abdomen and the upper body, so they were dealt with by the general surgeons. But we had quite a few upper and lower limb gunshots, and we've still got a few on the list today to deal with from yesterday.
And you told Christina Lamb in the Sunday Times interview yesterday about your 14-hour days in Nasser Hospital. And talk to me about the shortage of supplies and the conditions within which you're operating.
Well, we haven't really had any aid since the 2nd of March, so no food and no medical aid, and we are very low on essential items now. We've had a few drips and drabs through some of the NGOs. One of the big NGOs managed to get 3 lorry loads of equipment through in that first wave. But obviously, Nasser is not the only facility that they're at. They also run their own primary healthcare centre, and they have a field hospital as well. So we didn't get a huge amount, but we got probably enough to keep the 2 theatres here going. But we are running out of essential items that we now can't substitute for. So those would be things like scalpel blades, gauze swabs, and betadine solution that we prep the skin with before we operate. Up until last week, we had been on a sort of make do and mend, a bit of a scrap heap challenge, improvising with what we've got. And we've been watering down a lot of our cleaning fluids and really skimping on anaesthetics in quite a worrying way. Actually, everybody's sedated rather than given a general anaesthetic, and then you're converted to a general anaesthetic if the sedation's not enough. So it really is quite brutal. It's not the sort of medicine that I'd wish to replicate again, but it's a necessity, unfortunately. The patients keep coming through the door, so we have to keep operating.
And the children keep coming through the door, and
yeah,
you've been treating children.
There's a huge number of children this time. It's at least 50% of the operating list. The other day we had 6, in an operating list of 10, we had 6 under the age of 12 on it, which is quite worrying. And they're all quite significant injuries. Essentially, these children have been blown up and are missing bits of their body. It's very disfiguring injuries and quite sort of life-changing. We've had a little six-year-old who's lost most of her left hand and all the skin off her arm. Her sister has lost a huge section of her cheek and damaged the nerve to her face. It's really quite upsetting, and we keep hearing their stories as we have them on the operating table. So we had two brothers with quite devastating lower limb injuries, both of them. And as we were dealing with them, we found out that they were the only two survivors in the bomb attack that hit their home, and their parents and all their siblings had died. And that's not an unusual story. We're running at about 42,000 orphans in Gaza at the moment because of this war.
Does malnutrition now impact their chances of survival or their chances of recovery from surgery?
Yes, and we've noticed it quite abruptly now. It's not just in their weight. They've obviously lost fat and muscle bulk, and they're a lot smaller and thinner than their Western counterparts. But malnutrition at this stage really affects your immune system and your ability to repair cells, so you can't heal your wounds. And what we're really seeing is children where we've debrided and cleaned wounds and skin grafted them, and then the skin grafts aren't taking in a timely fashion. And then infection sets in. And rather than it being an infection that we can easily treat with antibiotics or cleaning the wound, the children are progressing to life-threatening sepsis. And we've actually now lost two children since we've been here to overwhelming sepsis, which is totally avoidable and would never have happened in the Western world.
It's your third tour of duty, we'll put it like that, in Gaza. And I know it's coming to an end and you're to leave tomorrow. Is it difficult now for you to leave physically, to get out safely
Yes.
from Gaza, but also difficult to leave behind patients and colleagues?
It's very difficult this time because we don't have a plastic surgeon coming in until July now. And there are no plastic surgeons in Gaza because it's not a training scheme that they ever ran. So all of the plastic surgeons here were really general surgeons that could do a bit of plastics. There's a couple that were trained outside of Gaza, but they've all been forced to leave now. And I'm more aware this time than ever that the media coverage has been quite widespread. And I think my chances of being let back into Gaza by COGAT have gone right down, which is also quite disappointing, leaving them and not knowing when or if I'll ever be allowed back in.
And that was Dr. Victoria Rose speaking to me a little earlier from Nasser Hospital.